Chapter 1. An Old Manuscript.
I first heard the story that you were going to read one Christmas in the 1890s, when I was a guest at a large house in the country. A group of us used to sit round the fire in the sitting room each evening and frighten each other by telling ghost stories. We always did this at Christmas. After a particularly horrible story about a boy and his mother, we agreed that the extra terror came from the story being about a child. My friend Douglas then said, "If we agree that a ghost story with a child in it gives another turn of the screw to the terror, what do you say about a story with two children in it?"
"We say, of course," somebody cried, "that having two children gives two turns of the screw. And we also say that we want to hear the story."
In my mind, I can see Douglas now, standing with his hands in his pockets and his back to the fire, looking down at the person who had spoken. "Nobody but me, till now, has ever heard this story," he said. "It's too horrible."
"Oh, how wonderful," cried one of the women.
Douglas did not seem to hear her. He shivered and put one hand in front of his eyes.
"It's a dreadful, dreadful story."
"Well then," I said, "you had better sit down and begin." Douglas turned round to the fire and kicked a piece of wood, watching the flames for a moment. Then he turned to face us again and said,
"I can't begin yet because the story is written down. It is in a locked cupboard in my London house. I need to send a letter and the key to my London house and ask one of the servants to send me a manuscript."
Everybody groaned because, of course, they wanted to hear the story straight away. However, we had to agree to be patient until the manuscript arrived.
"Did you write the manuscript?" someone asked.
"No, I did not," he replied. "A woman wrote it." He paused, then spoke again. "It is written in faded ink, in the most beautiful handwriting, and the woman has been dead for 20 years. She sent me the manuscript before she died. She was my younger sister's governess when I was at university 40 years ago. I spent time with her during a long, hot summer holiday. We used to walk in the gardens together after she had finished work for the day. She was clever and nice. The most charming woman I've ever met that did that kind of job." "I can see you smiling, and yes, you're right. I don't mind admitting that I liked her very much, and I think that she liked me too. If she hadn't liked me, she wouldn't have told me her story. I'm sure that she had never told anyone before me. I remember sitting on the grass under the branches of a huge tree one long, hot summer afternoon when she told me it. Although the day was so hot, I shivered as I listened." He left the fire and sat down again in his chair. "So you will receive the manuscript on Thursday, the day after tomorrow?" I said.
"I think so," Douglas replied. "Will you all meet me here after dinner?"
A number of voices replied,
"I will, I will."
"Now, I must go to bed," said Douglas, quickly standing up and picking up a candle.
When he had gone, one of the women said,
"I think he was in love with this governess."
We all agreed, and I felt that this was the reason that she had left her manuscript to him. The next evening, Wednesday evening, Douglas told us some more about the woman. She was the youngest daughter of a poor parson and had left the small country parsonage when she was 20 to look for a job as a governess. Although she had never had a job before, she had applied for one advertised by a gentleman in London. When she went to his house for an interview, she discovered that he was rich and handsome, and he treated her very kindly. He had become the guardian of his niece and nephew after the tragic death of his brother, a soldier, 2 years before, and then the death of his parents. The children had lived in India with the gentleman's parents, their grandparents, since their father's death. Now, they were living at the gentleman's house in the country, a place called Bly in Essex, where the housekeeper, Mrs. Gross, was looking after them. There had been a previous governess, but she had died, so the older child, a boy of 10, was sent away to school. Now the girl, who was 8, needed teaching too. One of the other guests interrupted Douglas as he was telling us this, asking, "What did the other governess die of?" "You will learn more about the other governess tomorrow," replied Douglas. Then he continued. "The salary the rich gentleman offered was extremely good, but there were strange conditions attached to the job. The new governess was going to be in charge at Bly, and she must never write to the guardian or contact him in any way. In fact, he never wanted to hear from her again. The young woman was nervous about taking a very responsible job, but the salary was very good. And after a couple of days thinking about it, she accepted the job." "She had fallen in love with the guardian, of course," I said. Douglas got up and did as he had done before. He turned round to the fire and kicked a piece of wood, watching the flames that rose up. Then he faced us again and said, "She only met him twice, but yes, she had fallen in love with him. Other women had applied for the job, but had been afraid to accept his conditions. She promised to do what he asked, and he was very pleased. When he held her hand and thanked her, she felt very happy, because he made her feel special."
"But did her happiness continue?"
one of the women asked. "She never saw him again," was the answer. Douglas did not say any more that night. The next night, he sat down by the fire, facing us, holding a thin book with a faded red cover. It was this book that came to me some years later, left to me by my friend Douglas when he died.
"What's the title of your story?" a woman asked.
"I haven't one," replied Douglas. "Oh, I have," I said. But Douglas, without answering, opened the book and began to read.